Hey, this is Pastor Derry Moten. Welcome to this week's podcast. We had an awesome, great speaker for us this week. Our guest, Pastor James William from Grace Point Faith Church in the city of American Canyon. So listen up to a great word by Pastor James. God bless you, and we'll talk to you at the end.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Okay. Not one person praise the Lord. You just repeated what I said. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Yes. So the next time somebody says praise the Lord, what are you going to do? Respond in praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm glad to be here in the house of the Lord once again, and just to be here with abundant life. My Lord, we were here a couple of weeks ago when Brother Brent Taylor was here. We came and just worshiped a little bit with you before we had to run off and for our service. But I'm so appreciative of your pastor. You have an amazing man and woman of God that serves here at Abundant Life. Y'all probably didn't know that, but I'm just saying, y'all have an amazing gift that is here as your leaders, and I'm sure you all appreciate the gift that God has placed in your midst, amen? Because at the end of the day, God gives pastors after his heart. It wasn't your decision in the first place why you here. You thought it was. It felt good to think that it was your decision. But the reality is God gives pastors after his heart. Amen? Amen. So please don't give him no problems. Amen. Why? Because it makes it hard for you. Amen? Love on them. Make their job easy. Make the service that they offer and that they render as unto the Lord, make it a easy thing for them. Amen? Amen. I promise you, you'll benefit. You will reap the benefits of a happy leader. Amen? Amen. 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 I want to share with you for a moment a message entitled Requirements to Manifest God's Power. Requirements to Manifest God's Power. We're going to be coming from the book of Judges, chapter 6. I want to say I'm so grateful for my wife, Lucretia, and my sons, Cameron and Aaron, here with me on today. Amen. Just stand and so the saints can see who you are. Amen. 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 And if I got to stand up, y'all got to stand up. Amen. I learned a long time ago, he who has the mic has the power. Amen. But then we get home and there's a neck that turns the head. Amen. Right? Oh, hallelujah. That's what 20 years of marriage will get you, wisdom. Amen, somebody. Come on. It makes for a happy home. Amen, amen. Judges chapter 6. And I want to just share with you, can I just say this? God uses ordinary people to do amazing and extraordinary things. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, that looks like you. They're not convinced, honestly, they're not. So just tell the person on the other side of you, say, it looks like you. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Amen. Judges chapter 6, and this is the story of Gideon. This is the story of Gideon, and let me give you just a little backdrop to this. The Israelites are being oppressed by the Midianites, who end up teaming up with the Amalekites. And for about 7 years, to the point that we are in Judges chapter 6, the Israelites are living in caves and in strongholds because the Midianites and the Amalekites have come in annually and they destroy their crops. and they have caused the Israelites to live in extreme poverty. So Israel is living in a defeated place. Israel is living in a place of poverty. They're being abused by their enemies and seemingly have no reason to lift up their heads and to overcome. In the face of their adversity, they have every justifiable reason to accept and to live out their current circumstances and their current situation. And I know that as we walk this walk of faith, we find ourselves in seasons where the enemy of our soul seems to get the upper hand. Do I have a witness in here? Or is it just me? It seems to be overthrowing us at every turn, and it doesn't seem like we are able to have victory in our lives. I want to let you know that in this season, this is a prime time for God's power to be made manifest in your life. I'm going to say it again. It's in these seasons and in these times that it is prime time for God's power to be made manifest in your life. I'm going to say it again. It's in this time and it's in this season that it's God's greatest time to make himself known through you. I'm not talking about the pastor and the elders of the church. I'm talking about you. Can I tell you one of the biggest, I'm getting off here, but can I tell you one of the biggest challenges, Pastor, to the move of God and the power of God being made manifest in the lives of our churches is that we don't believe that God can do it through us. We put the responsibility on the pastor and on the leaders of the church and say, oh yeah, God can use them. Oh yes, mighty men of God, mighty women of God. I tell you, they bring forth the word of God and they go forth and such and such and such. But what about you? You got the same Holy Ghost they got. The same power, the same spirit of the living God that is dwelling on the inside of you. Why is your spirit inferior to their spirit? Why is the power of God that's resting on the inside of you inferior to anybody else? Why can't the operation of the Spirit of God operate and flow through you? Can I tell you the problem is us? And it's our thinking. We are our greatest enemy. It ain't the devil. Because the devil can't make you do nothing. The greatest enemy to the power of God being made manifest through us is us. My bishop said, he said it like this. He said, we impose upon ourselves self-imposed limitations. Self-imposed limitations. We allow our current situation and our current circumstances to dictate what the power of God can do through us. But when we realize that the power of God on the inside of us is greater than anything that's going on around us, we don't have to subject ourselves to just what we see. I don't have to have a dime in my pocket, but I can walk like I got $1 million. Okay, maybe that amount was too big. I can walk like I got $100 in my pocket. I can walk like I got $1,000 in the bank. I ain't gonna, oh, woe is me. No, I can walk with my head held up high. Why? Because I'm not walking where I am. I'm walking where God is taking me. I'm walking in what God says I am. So, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19, he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in a weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul Paul says that, you know, those things where are maybe they're shortcomings for me and they're weak areas. Here's the reality is what he understood was that his humanity was nothing. And if he did not trust upon the arm of flesh, there was nothing that God couldn't do through him. And so he says that I will boast in my weaknesses because God is made perfect through me. And the nations of the world can be reached when I don't rely upon my own human ingenuity. When I don't rely upon the arm of flesh to try to accomplish kingdom things. If there is something that is more reprobate, it is trying to do kingdom things with flesh and by fleshly means. Can I tell you that is the spirit of witchcraft? That is the spirit of manipulation, because there's no way you can accomplish kingdom things with by fleshly means. In order to accomplish the kingdom, it takes God working through us. Otherwise, it's all about pride and glory, self-glorification. But in order to accomplish things of the kingdom, when we're done, it's not about us, but he gets all the glory. Amen, somebody. He gets all of the glory. So let me backtrack a little bit because I done jumped so far ahead of where I'm supposed to be right now. Number one, we've got to recognize where we are. If we want to see the manifestation of God's power, we've got to understand where we are. So let's go to Judges chapter 6. And I don't have my physical Bible. Is it up on the screen? Let's do the first Judges 6, 1 through 11. Amen. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midians for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. Look at your neighbor and say, there were many of them. And they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished, or they were in poverty, because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, what happened? That the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. When you get tired of being where you are and you recognize where you are, you will begin to cry out to God like you've never cried out to him before. It's when you realize where you are and recognize that that is not the place that God has designed for you, and you realize that you can't get out of it without God, you will begin to cry out to God to save you from where you are. And so this is where Israel finds themselves, and they cry out to God, and then the Lord sends a man of God. Come on, somebody. And he sends a man of God, and then he begins to remind them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you. And this is what I did. I gave you their lands. Not only did I deliver you, but I gave you something in exchange. And I said, and I also said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Little g, inferior to me. This is what God is saying. You don't have to fear what does not have the power that I have. I've got you. I done took care of all of them, and I gave you their lands. Don't fear their gods. But you have not obeyed my voice. So Israel finds himself in this place because of their disobedience. And this is the pattern that Israel has. They'll be prosperous As long as they obey God, then all of a sudden they get increased with goods and they forget who God is and they go back to the little g gods. And they get themselves in trouble and they find themselves, God sends another group of ites. You know how those little termites be at your house, be trying to eat. You be like, God, deliver us from these ites, hallelujah. And so now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And so we find Gideon is in hiding because of the oppression that Israel has suffered. They recognize where they are, and because of it, they begin to cry out to God. And so he reminds them what he's done for them, and they realize that through their disobedience, they've just relinquished what they've had. The beautiful thing about God is he doesn't leave you where you are. He always has a plan, and that plan will always work on your behalf to bring him glory. I'm going to say that again because it sounded good. Come on, somebody. So the God doesn't leave you where you are. He always has a plan, and that plan will work out for you, but it only works to bring him the glory. Amen, somebody. And when you find yourself intercepting the glory of God and find yourself not deflecting the glory, you find yourself in a very troubling place. You'll find yourself at odds with God. So God sends an angel to where Gideon is. And the angel of the Lord says this. He calls Gideon. He says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Oh my God, is that not an oxymoron? Here is Gideon hiding, threshing wheat in a hiding place so that the enemy won't take what he's got. But the angel comes up and says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I promise you, Gideon did not feel like a mighty man of valor at that moment. Gideon did not feel like somebody who was an overcomer. Gideon did not feel like somebody who had victory in his life. Can I tell you that God will always speak to where you're supposed to be before you ever get there? God will give you a glimpse into your future before you ever get there. See, God's got to give you some hope. God's got to put hope in your life so that you have the encouragement to go forward and to run after what God has promised you. See, he gave Joseph a glimpse of where he was going, but what he didn't do was tell him what he had to go through to get there. And sometimes we just don't want to go through the process. Oh, did I say that word? Oh, my gosh. We don't want to go through the process to get where God has promised we're going to be. Somebody say process. If you don't accept what God says about you, you can't walk out what God has planned for you. I'm going to say it slower. If you don't accept what God what God says about you, you will never walk out what God has planned for you. It won't happen. If you can't believe the word of the Lord that has gone forth over your life, if you can't receive the seed that God plants into your heart, you'll never get a harvest. It'll never happen for you. So number one, not only do you have to recognize where you are, number two, you have to accept what God says about you. You've got to accept what God says about you because that is the beginning of the process. A lot of times the biggest challenge we have is the fact that we're looking at ourselves through our own set of eyes. Instead of putting on the lenses of God and seeing ourselves the way God sees us. That's the only reason why God says what he says about us, because that's how he sees us. See, he knows our ending from our beginning. And see, God operates outside of time. This here is time. This is where God operates. He operates outside of time. So when God called Gideon, oh, mighty man of valor, you got to understand God. That's how when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Because he wasn't talking in time. He was talking in eternity. Before Abraham was, I am. And so when he says, oh, Gideon, oh, mighty man of valor, he was talking from a place of eternity. What was he seeing? He was talking to Gideon where he was supposed to be, not necessarily where he was. So you've got to receive what God is saying about you, because that's God's truth. And if it's God's truth, it's done. It is done. Regardless of what your current circumstance is, you've got to accept what God says about you. Once you accept what God says about you, you've got to do first things first. Go to Judges 6, 25. We're going to go through 32. This is verse number, yes. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. And so Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him, but because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to do it by any means necessary. Right. See, God will give you some of the plans, but sometimes you got to think for yourself. Verse 28 says, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was an altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. Don't go. Go back. Now, you know there's a problem when what you should not be worshiping holds a higher degree of worth to you than the God who has delivered you time and time and time again. When you want to kill somebody over something that you should not be in possession of, instead of serving the Lord your God, there's something wrong and skewed with your point of view. These men were willing to kill Gideon over a false god, over an idol that they had put up in their life. I promise you, if you mess with some stuff in some people's lives, they'll kill you. They will slander your name. They will talk about you till you are nothing, because you touched something that had value in their life that has no value to God. When you put something above the value of God in your life, that's called idolatry. And you are out of position with God. Your kids, they could become idols. Your job, yes, it can become an idol. It could become the very thing that keeps you from operating in the manifested power of God. It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's not all these big things, these big old, no, it's the things that you don't even, that you figure don't carry much weight. So I got this, you know, I've been saved for like 15 years. So I can handle this. You know, these newborn babies, they can't, but I got this. See, when you think you've got something that you really ain't got, and you're leaning upon your own self to get it done instead of leaning upon the arm of God, what seems harmless in the beginning will turn around and kill you. That's what Saul thought. Saul said, I ain't got to kill all of them. I know, Lord, I know you said kill all the Amalekites, but I ain't got to kill all of them. I'll leave the prime of the sheep. I'll leave the prime of the princes. And the very thing that he saved was the very thing that killed him. It will kill your purpose in the kingdom if you don't take care of it in the beginning. If you don't handle what God tells you to handle, when God tells you to handle it, you run the risk of your purpose being averted and being put off course. Now, what should have been a day is going to take you 5 years to get back on track if you get back on track. There's no guarantee. First things first. So here's what God does. He instructs Gideon to do this, 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 and this. And what does Gideon do? This, 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 and this. Do what God instructs, regardless of the outcome. Do what God instructs, regardless of the outcome. Tear down the groves and the altars of Baal. But not only did he tell him to tear it down, but he says, build me an altar on top of what you torn down. Matter of fact, I want you to do this. Use what you've torn down to build me an altar. Because then it shows those who worship that little G God that there's a bigger God in the house. When you do what God tells you to do, it empowers others to do the same thing. Come on, somebody. When you do what God has told you to do and what he's called you and purpose for you to do, it empowers others to do the same thing. What are you talking about? Look at his dad, Joash. These groves was what his father built. And he didn't want to tear it down because he was afraid of what his father was going to do. And the men of the city. Which tells me that his dad must have had some status in the town. So he tears it down at night. But here's what happens. Because he did what God told him to do, when it came time for the repercussions of his actions, his dad stood up for him. Because I guarantee you, his father was reminded of the God of Israel that had delivered them from the hands of their enemies in times past. And yet his son did what even he would not do. And so his father was reminded of what God had already done in times past. And so it gives him a level of strength to be able to stand up to the men of the city and keep going and go forth in the scriptures. And he cuts down. But Joash says to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is God, let Baal plead for himself because his altar is torn down. Next verse. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he has torn down his altar. It will cause, when you do what God has called you to do and the manifestation of God's power is revealed, it will cause your name to be changed, which is symbolic of people seeing you differently than they did before your obedience to God. People will see you in an entirely different light. They will see you as God sees you when you're obedient to what God tells you to do. Not only does it equip you and empowers you, but it empowers those that you can influence around you to be able to stand up for what God has already said and begin to walk in the power and the anointing that God has placed upon their lives. What you do gives an okay to somebody else to walk out their divine purpose in God. I think it was Marianne Williamson that says, you're playing small to the world empowers nobody. So you might as well step up and be what God has called you to be. You might as well step up and walk out what God has called you to walk out. You might as well step up and be the manifestation of the power of God in the earth realm. You might as well walk out the kingdom and let the kingdom flow through you instead of relying on somebody else to pray for you. Instead of relying on somebody else to lay hands on you. Instead of relying on somebody else to pray for your family. What you think the Holy Ghost is just to make you buck and shout? To run an aisle? to get goosebumps and feel good? Woo! The power of God is to be revealed through you in the earth so that lives can be changed and drawn to Him. He says, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive power to do what? To be witnesses. Not to sit on a pew and look pretty and fill up space just to say we got this many. No. What good does it do for you to be here and you not doing what God has called you to do? What use are you to the kingdom if all you're doing is just sitting around and doing nothing to gain ground for the kingdom? And I'm not talking in the building. I'm talking outside the building. So many times we get caught up in what's going on inside the building, and that's, we come here to get recharged and rejuvenated and to be poured into so that we can be effective witnesses when we leave, because the harvest is not right here. The harvest is outside. And God is holding each and every one of us responsible for having kingdom impact in the earth realm. God wants His power to be made manifest in you. They already on assignment. What you doing? I'm just saying. They're on assignment. What are you doing? And I tell this to the congregation back home, so I'm going to say it here too, because we're the same age. If each one would just reach one, we would have seating issues. And it ain't about the numbers. It's about duplication. It's about duplicating yourself in others. Amen. We've been called to multiply. We ain't baby's kids, but we've been called to multiply. Come on, somebody. Multiply and subdue. So if we're not multiplying who we are in God, if we're not causing lives to be changed, if we're not winning souls for the kingdom, then what is your purpose? Because according to the word of the Lord, Matthew 20, I think it's Matthew 28 and I think it's 20. Baptizing, Matthew 28, 19. What does that say? My mind is gone right now. Going to all the world. And what's the first thing He tells them to do? Teach. Duplication. Okay, so you're not a preacher. Okay, you're not taking a text. Okay, you're not standing behind a pulpit. Okay, I got you. How about the life that you live? Let it be a testimony. And let it draw somebody to the kingdom. How about you ain't got to have a scripture written on your forehead and a big old sign on your chest and back. You ain't got to have a Bible walking through the workplace. No, how about you just live with integrity and character? How about you walk upright before men so that God is glorified? And He says, because if I'm lifted up in the earth, He says, I will draw all men, women, boys and girls. I will draw them all to me if I'm lifted up in you. The power and the manifestation of God is not something spooky. But can I tell you, the power of God is revealed in us every single day if we allow the Spirit of God, the liberty, to walk out in us. When Gideon began to understand and finally understood who he was willing to do what God had told him to do. Amen? But check this out. He was willing to do what God had called him to do, but when it came time and he sent the cry out to all of the other surrounding tribes, and they all began to respond and come, and they were there by the thousands standing beside him, then he began to say, okay, now, I was cool when it was just me. But now I've got a whole bunch of folk whose lives I'm holding in my hands. I'm about to lead them into battle. So God, let me do this. Let me just double check and make sure that what you said was what you said. He said, so, in the morning, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. Gets up, the fleece is wet, wrings it out. He says, okay, God, you did that thing. But let me just try one more time. In the morning, let the fleece be dry, but let the ground be wet. And the Lord did it again. So the final point is this. Obey and go. Obey and go. What do you mean? Obey and go forth. Gideon gets all the confirmations that he needs. And as he goes forth, the way he started was not the way he ended. Sometimes as we are walking out the will of God, which is going to bring about the manifestation, what it looks like in the beginning is not what God has planned at the time of manifestation. Just because it looks one way as you begin doesn't mean that that's what the final product is going to look like. What do you mean? It doesn't mean that God changed his mind as you went 2 feet. God doesn't have to change his mind. Your ways are not his ways and your thoughts are not his thoughts, so don't try to figure him out. Just be obedient and go as he says go. Amen? The problem is we try to figure God out too much. And it's not even possible to stop. Amen, somebody? All right, so God tells Gideon, the thousands you have at your side is too much. And if I release you now, he says, if I release you now, you will say that this was by your own strength and that deliverance came because of yourself. He says, so sometimes God will take you through a process that will position you right where he wants you. Because where you start off sometimes, if that's the end of the story, it would allow you to say, I did this. Look at me. And that's what people will be saying. Wow. You did that? Oh, yes, I did that. Hallelujah. Your self-righteous self. Amen. And so here's what God does. So Gideon continues to obey God through his process of positioning. The process is simply God trying to position him where he needs him to be. And so what happens is Gideon goes from 1,000 or from thousands to 300. Now, remember earlier on, it says that the Midianites and the Amalekites were and their camels were like grasshoppers as far as the eye could see. They could not be numbered. So I ask you, what is 300 going to do against as far as the eye can see? That's not humanly possible. To defeat as far as the eye can see with 300 people. So, he does everything that God asks of him, regardless of what it looks like. And because of that, the power of God is revealed, not only to the Israelites, but also to the enemies of Israel, and it brought peace and prosperity. The victory that they won not only manifested for the children of Israel and it gave them great joy, but it also showed the enemy that their God was the God. So it's not just going to be for you that the power and the manifestation of God is revealed. It's not just for you and yours, but it's for the whole world to see what God can do. And that he gets the glory. Something interesting happens while they're waiting to attack. God allows him to sneak up on his enemy and hear what they're saying about him. Can I tell you, your enemies are talking about you and you don't even realize that they are more afraid of you than you are of them. But the devil would have you believe that they are more powerful than you and he will try to punk you. To make you feel like you can't do what God has called you to do. Because you're not looking through your eyes, through God's eyes, you're looking through your eyes. And God is saying, I want to be revealed through you. And you and you, I want to be revealed through you. I want the manifestation, the full manifestation of my power to be revealed through you. Earthen vessels. So The manifestation of God's power is waiting to be revealed. It's waiting to be revealed. People are already talking about it. They're waiting on you. They can see what you are taking your time to embrace. People can already see the hand of God on you. They already see the power of God that's resting on you. You're the one that's choosing not to operate in it. Everybody else is on the sideline trying to figure out, what you doing? What's taking you so long? How come you're not walking in what we already see is obvious to us? We already know what God is calling you to. It's plain as day. What are you waiting on? How come you're not walking it out? Self-imposed limitations. It's obvious to everybody around you, even the five-year-olds. They can see it. And everybody's like, what are you doing? I'm just saying. So it's time for you to stop second-guessing who you are. It's time for you to stop second-guessing whose you are. It's time for you to walk in what God has already said about you. It's time for you to embrace what God has already said about you. Forget the faces of the people and remember the promises of God. I'm going to say it again. Forget the faces of the people. Because some people just look mad. I don't care whether they're happy. They just going to look mad. Just, you know. Some of y'all ain't smiled yet. All right, everybody now. Okay, all right, just checking. forget the faces of the people and just walk in what God has called you to do. I promise you, the same people that are talking about you, they're going to talk about whether you do it or whether you don't. So you might as well give them something to talk about and just go ahead and do what God has called you to do. Become the manifestation of God in the earth. Don't sit around and wait. I promise you, your leaders would be ecstatic, would run laps 3 times around this place when you begin to walk in your purpose and when God begins to reveal himself to you because you said yes to the call of God on your life. I promise you, Sister Tammy, First Lady, she will do a double backflip up off the top of this platform. The moment you say yes, God, and begin to walk out. Y'all may not be around to see it, but, you know. What you waiting on? What's your challenge? What are you waiting on? God has already said it. He's already told you who you are. Through the preached word of God, you already know whose you are, who you belong to. And so if Bill Gates is my daddy and I got access to his money, trust me, I'm not going to be driving a $2,000 hoopty. Trust me. Why? Because my daddy got more than that. Trust me, if I know who my daddy is, I'm not going to be operating in low level. I'm just saying. If I know who my dad is, I didn't say that I wasn't going to have trials in my life. I didn't say that. Didn't say I wasn't going to have no bumps in the roads. Didn't say I wasn't going to have no challenges. But when I know I got God on my side, there ain't nothing that can stop me. There's nothing that can hold me back. And even in the midst of my trial, the glory of God can still be made manifest through me. Even in my darkest time, the glory of God can still be revealed through me. Because my identity is not based upon my circumstances. My identity is found in God. He's the one who tells me who I am. He's the one who tells me in what I can operate in. He's the one who shines through me. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Wow. Hey, friends, this is Pastor Derry Moten. You've been listening to Pastor James Williams, our guest speaker from Grace Point Faith Church in American Canyon, California. What an awesome message. We had a great time sharing the word with him this past week. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, feel free to check our website, which is www.alwc.us. Feel free to check us out, and we invite you to join us at any of our worship services at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings right in the city of Vallejo. For more information, again, check out our website, alwc.us. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.